Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. Listen to Talk with Marie Live. Get ready for some music, books, social events, and special guests. Here's your host, Marie.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the show. I am so excited to welcome Lady Lux, who is a member of the Virtual World Best Practices in Education and Second Life. So this is her first time on the show, and she's going to be telling us all about the event, what she's doing, presenters, speakers. Before we get into that, I want to welcome all of our new listeners and also thank all my followers on Twitter and Pinterest. So many newcomers, which I love. So thank you guys for your support. And then during the show, you'll hear how you can get more information about virtual worlds and the event that's coming up and their website and how to get more access to them. So stay tuned so you guys can hear directly from Letty, who's going to be letting you guys know all about the event. As you know, you can also call right in and ask us any questions you may have. So let's go in and speak with Letty. Hi, Letty. Welcome to the show. So I'm so excited. I was telling everyone I'm so excited to have you on. And so let's start from the beginning. So a lot of time I always want to tell people about Second Life and how people get involved. So I wanted to find out how you became a resident and how you discovered Second Life.
Well, I actually discovered Second Life through my university, who had purchased Four Regions a few years back. And so they were our instructional developers were kind of doing these little workshops where they were asking faculty who was interested to do a little experimenting with their teaching. And, you know, and so I bit. I said, well, sure. And then, of course, they demonstrated Second Life. And from then on, I figured, you know what, there's so much potential to do some really interesting teaching here and simulation with my students. So I decided that it was probably a good idea to do that.
And then you got hooked since.
Yes, I was.
That's good. So what keeps you coming back year after year and remaining involved? I know there are some people who do very specific things in Second Life. And then there are others that kind of come and go where they take some breaks from Second Life and then they come back for whatever reasons. What keeps you coming year after year?
Well, a couple of things. I do primarily come because I use it in my education courses. I teach future teachers, and so I use some immersive builds and some simulations with them to kind of practice their teaching strategies and that sort of thing. So that's one of the major reasons I keep coming back. I still think that it's one of the best kind of simulated environments to have them kind of practice things. And of course, the other big one is BWBP. You know, I've been doing this for about 4 years, and so I still think that what we do here in this conference is something just amazing. And I think that, you know, virtual environments like Second Life are just a great venue for it.
That's wonderful. Also, the other, as an educator, I'm sure you describe virtual world or Second Life to people all the time. So how, for newbies and people who may not know what it is, how do you describe it to them?
Well, that's a bit of a tough one, because I know when I started, you know, some people said it was a game, some people said it was a virtual reality environment. I like to use virtual reality environment. I am one of those people that get a little irritated when people call it a game, and because it just does not follow the same rules as a game typically would. But I like to call it, you know, virtual environment, something that you can immerse yourself in simulation, somewhere where you can basically do all sorts of creative things and connect with people that you wouldn't normally if you weren't co-located.
That's great. I mean, I think, and again, you know, I think you guys have a great example on your page in terms of sort of like the official what is virtual world. So if people want to know, they can definitely lead that. So I know you do a lot of educational work, teaching, and doing a lot of instructional sort of activities on there. When you're not doing that, what do you do for fun in Second Life?
Well, I actually like build contests. I've always needed creative outlets. So when I come into Second Life for fun, and that's on the rare occasion when I actually have time for fun, is I look for build contests. Like I know the Dreams Sim that was started by the Sojourner, you know, has these monthly contests that I like to enter. And, you know, I like to kind of challenge my own skill. I've been, over the last few years, trying to learn scripting a little bit more. I have some really good friends who know it well and who are completely frustrated by my lack of logic. but that's what I do. I enjoy the learning and I enjoy the...
That's great. So, I mean, I think it's good to balance it out because initially when I first came in here, I thought I was only going to be doing the serious stuff. Like you, I discovered because of schooling. And so I thought, okay, it's all going to be academic, nonprofit stuff, and charity work. Forget the fun stuff. And then, you know, I discovered how people kind of blend it together. And you guys do that too, which I'll let you tell people about some of the fun stuff we'll be doing during the conference. So let's continue by talking about the mission of VWBPE.
Well, one of our most important missions is actually to bring communities together. And we do this by giving them a platform in which to share their best practices. We don't want really the conversations to end when the presentation is over. We want them to be a beginning. You know, our communities are bound, you know, by this kind of spirit that not a lot of kind of educators have. When you go into an immersive experience or an immersive environment, there's a sense of curiosity, a sense of a, you know, almost a pioneering spirit. And so we want to be able to provide those people with the opportunity to kind of find each other, collaborate, you know, do some great, you know, education, some practice in this environment. And so we hope that we kind of accomplish that through our goals of just trying to make sure that we connect them together, we give them opportunities to network, and we definitely give them opportunity to voice their awesome projects.
That's great. I mean, that's a big mission to have. And I'm excited to see that there are many educators, there are institutions that are involved as presenters, panelists, and also as sponsors. What I was amazed by is just how many, most of these individuals probably have never met. And this is a huge, putting any kind of event together, whether virtually or in real life, is a lot of work. Give us a little history in terms of how the event came about from the early days.
Well, I've only been involved in the conference for the last 4 years, so there's been, you know, other people I've basically kind of stood on their shoulders mm-hmm. in terms of what they've accomplished as pioneers in this event. But I know that it basically was an opportunity for very passionate people like educators, you know, to come in during a time when Second Life was just beginning. And so we've been doing this for 9 years now. This is our 9th year of the conference. And so that was our opportunity to bring all these people, like you said, that never meet. In fact, you know, a couple of my executive, you know, team are right here.
I know.
And they both live in Canada, you know, different places of Canada. I live in Texas. We've never met face to face. You know, we've managed to create this amazing conference. You know, we have our, you know, our social chair, I think, lives in Connecticut. Our volunteer chair lives in New Mexico. So it's just amazing how it's kind of brought us together. So really, I think that you know, in terms of thinking about the history of this, I don't have a lot of information on its history other than some of the things that I've heard, and that is that, you know, it was started with people who were very enthusiastic joining, you know, educators together. In fact, I think that my two executive directors, you know, Phelan and Lori Vaughn have been here probably for those 10 years. Mm. I have not. but I know that they tell me about the wonderful experiences that have brought all these educators together. And it's really their passion that kind of created this and then just kept it going, because it's not an easy thing to do. And it's just amazing to me that it survived for this long. And next year we have an amazing 10th anniversary.
Yes. Yeah. The decade. So I'm sure it's going to be fun. I mean, I know I've heard of it, luckily because of the nonprofit commons and a lot of wonderful people like Jento Aaron, who does great work at Virtual Ability. And I love the mix of educators and activists and people from the nonprofit sector or from different backgrounds. And I also love the fact that it's not all strictly academic, because sometimes that can get a little intimidating if you don't feel like you're not part of a higher ed institution, for example, to, you know, to be part of that day or that dialogue, or to be part of the whole conference as a participant or as a attendant. So this year, I know every year there's a different focus, which I love. Tell us about this year's theme.
Ah, yes, horizons. Well, we always think about our team, about our themes a year before, because we like doing a big unveil at our conference, so that actually, you know, our theme for coming year, which, you know, I can't share at the moment, has already been determined. And so it'll be unveiled at our conference, at our closing. But this one was really, you know, we started talking about this theme last year when we were, there were so many things that were coming up as new. You know, Oculus, while still in beta stage, it was about to come out in commercial release. So there was that expect, and then, you know, Linden Lab was starting to talk about this new environment. And then, of course, there's high fidelity that's been kind of developing. I think it's in beta stage now. So there were all these new technologies coming up that would support kind of virtual reality in some way. So we felt, you know what, let's look towards that horizon. And so that's where the word kind of came up. You know, so that, that we thought was just kind of a natural fit in terms of, you know, what was coming up. And so that's why we kind of determined on that.
Yeah, that's great. I mean, I think, you know, being in virtual world and being in that environment, I feel like we have this advantage of always looking forward and being innovative and thinking of, even though this is the next thing or the big thing for some people, but we still, after you've been in it for a few years, it's like, what is next? And then truly how to sort of maximize the tools in different settings. You know, some people use it for teaching, other people use it for so many different, in so many different positive ways. So I think you guys have a lot, you can cover so much with that this year. Let's talk a little bit about the featured speaker. You can reveal who it is and how you guys chose that particular person.
Well, we actually have three featured speakers. We're, you know, one of the things that we do in the conference is actually have more than one keynote. And this year we've kind of, we focused on three amazing people. They all have some kind of background in terms of education and gamification. And so we have Carl Kapp, who's a published author, you know, several books on gamification and education. We have Bronwyn Stuckey, who was one of the amazing people who brought us Quest Atlantis a few years ago, and she's still been very active in creating these types of communities of practice in virtual reality. And then we also have Stephen Downs. He was one of the co-creators of the very popular MOOCs that have just kind of exploded over the internet. So we have some really amazing people showing up at our conference this year.
That's wonderful. Yeah, I think, typically you guys really sort of do a different way. Conferences usually have that one big name that people bring together, but I think having multiple is a great thing. So I'm excited to talk about the schedule for this year. I know I'm going to be learning a lot, but I always look forward to the social networking aspect in the big sort of ribbon cutting kind of opening day. So let's start by talking a little bit about what's going to be happening from the first day through the 12th.
Okay, well, I'll try to kind of do an overview of that because there's just way too many things going on.
It's the highlight.
Definitely. Yeah. But as you said, on March the 9th, which is our opening day at 11 a.m. Second Life time or Pacific time, we do have a ribbon cutting, which we're very excited about because we're also hoping to promote our posters or our exhibits at that point, to make sure that people come in and look at the wonderful work of some of not only our sponsors, but other people who are here to showcase their work, their organizations, and you know, basically the things that they do to advocate for different causes. And so we're very excited to have to start that. And we also have at the end of that day, Ebby will be coming to talk with our audience. So even though he's not a keynote this year, mm-hmm. he's very good at answering questions. So he's going to come over to, you know, and talk to our community, answer questions, do what he does best, basically, and just kind of have a conversation with them over some of the things that are of most concern to them. So that's our first day. And throughout the other days, we also have, and you mentioned networking, because that's one of our things that we want to do every day is we have these kind of discussions we're calling quadrivium discussions, and they're actually networking opportunities. They're led moderated discussions, but they're on major topics of the day. It's really our audience that brings forth their ideas. So we have four major topics that are going to run through the conference every day. We have cloud technologies, new and wearable tech. We have, you know, how we create identities in virtual environments. And we also have an interesting and in-depth look at the challenges and opportunities of open simulator communities. Because, you know, if you looked at our program, we actually on Thursday, we spend most of our day in Avicon Grid, not in Second Life. Mm. So we have an interesting, you know, basically program for that day as well. Some social events and definitely Avicon. You know, we have a featured panel. In fact, we have other featured panels. So when we move on to the next days on Friday and Saturday in particular, we also have featured panels from Second Life. Groups like Virtual Pioneers, Visti, and Caledon Oxbridge. So we have a lot of events, and of course I can't forget about Machinima. We also have Machinima on Friday. We have on Thursday we have Machinima and Avicon, and then Machinima again in Second Life on Friday. And we have an awesome play. So we cap our evening on Friday with a presentation from Avatar Repertory Theater,
Ooh.
Who will basically present the play North of Boston. So I'm really looking forward to that. So that's, you know, that's really interesting. And then, of course, Saturday is our closing day, but it's just as, you know, packed with activities. That's when we have our workshops. You know, people love to kind of roll their sleeves and try stuff out. And so we have some really interesting kind of sessions going on. And, of course, our closing, we basically announce our Thinker Award, because we've had the last 3 years, we've basically been awarding somebody in our communities who has, you know, who has advanced best practices, who has advocated and who has created communities and you know, found a way to create networks for others. We've been awarding individuals something like this. Of course, General Heron was our awardee last year, and the year before it was Thinker. The award is named after him. And so this year we have another special person who will be receiving that award at our closing on Saturday.
And you're not going to tell me. It's a big surprise, right?
I am not. Yes, it is a big surprise.
Breaking news. Yeah, I'm sure whoever it is, it's well-deserved. I was so excited when Gentle was recognized for her wonderful work that she continued to do. So let's talk a little bit about, I saw a lot of different organizations and schools that are involved in supporting DWBP. Do you mind sharing some of those who are sponsoring the conference or are providing the support?
Oh, yes, absolutely. In fact, our conference would not be possible, you know, it would not be possible for it to be free to all our participants if we didn't have our sponsors, because that's what we strive for. That's still what we want to aim for. And so we have some amazing people, Thinker Melville, who's Selby Evans. He also runs the blog Virtual Outworlding. He's a great promoter of education events, the arts, and other communities that contribute both in Second Life and Open Simulator communities. So he's a great advocate for people who are trying to create, you know, great things in these environments. So he's our platinum sponsor. And then we have a few other bronze sponsors that are also just as appreciative, you know, in terms of what they've done for us. We have Whole Brain Health. We have Buckley University Consortium, University of Idaho, University of New Mexico, and Virtual Ability, who's always been generous with both their time and their volunteers. So it's a mixture of institutions and organizations. It's not all education, as you say. We promote communities of practice because they are one of our, you know, they are promoting and assisting our educators as well. So we have an interesting mix, and we are truly blessed to have great friends with them.
That's wonderful. I mean, I think, you know, the moment people sort of landed at the on the SEM, you know, there's always someone there to welcome you, which is helpful, whether you a newbie or you've been in Second Life forever. Just having that friendly face when you arrive is always a plus. And of course, for guidance, because I'm one of those people who get lost very easily, even though I know where I'm supposed to be, but I could just, you know, be somewhere else where things are not happening. So I'm sure it's, you know, nice to hear. What kind of feedback have you heard or received from past conference participants or speakers who've attended?
Well, our conference participants, our conference presenters, everybody leaves with a very, very positive feel to it. So in our past surveys, we always get very, very kind of wonderful compliments in terms of the variety of our program, the, you know, the balance that we have between social and academic, and then just the amazing versatility, you know, and of course our volunteers. Our volunteers are always key in our minds, and so they're always appreciated by the people who come back and kind of give us feedback on that. And one of the things they do appreciate the most, though, and that, like, they can't seem to get enough of that, is the networking opportunities. They want to connect to others in some way. They want to create collaborations. And so they look to us to kind of help them build those. So that's really one of the biggest things that keeps coming up in our survey.
That's wonderful. So we talked a little bit about this earlier in terms of what is the process to attend the conference. Do people need to register in advance?
Actually, no, they do not need to register. We appreciate registration because it helps us, you know, feed our statistics and it adds people to our mailing list. But the registration process is simply for those that need a ticket or some sort of, you know, documentation to their employer for attending the conference. Because even though it may be virtual, it still basically, you know, takes you out of commission for a few days, just right, like you would in a regular conference. So essentially, that's people don't need to register. All they need to do is basically look up our program and our website and just pop in world and enjoy our event.
That's great. So your website, I've been sort of reading, and it's constantly being updated with you know, speakers and where people should be going. Do you mind sharing where people can get more information about the upcoming conference?
Oh, absolutely. We have, of course, you know, the main one is our program, because that'll tell them exactly what's going on and at what time. But when they go to our main website, which is vwbpe.org, all they have to do is look up at the top menu where under programs, and then anything down there from that menu is about, well, who are our keynotes, you know, a little bit of a bio information, who are our featured panels. It also has information on, you know, how to access the conference. I know in Avicon Greed, we use TeamSpeak. We don't use in-world voice, so it has information on that for people, how to register in Avicon, how to create an avatar in Avicon, I should say. Mm-hmm. So everything they need to know about attending is actually under that menu item under program.
That's wonderful. So we're almost out of time. I want to see if you have any final words for our listeners. And I want to thank all your committee members who joined us today in the audience.
Well, you know, the only thing I want to say is, you know, please come over. Our conference starts on Wednesday. Appreciate our volunteers. Believe me, this has been a process of 6 months in the making. So, you know, enjoy. We have amazing, you know, not only academic, there's something for everyone. So social, you know, some fun stuff, some engaging things. So come join us starting Wednesday. We will be here until Saturday.
Oh, yeah. We have a lot of amazing days coming. I see Laurie Vaughn. Yeah, the volunteers definitely walk. You have great speakers. And your committee, your planning committee also walk, I must say. I've talked with
a few,
and you guys are wonderful. You're so welcoming to me and the show, and to even if someone, this is their first time ever coming into Second Life, it's still a very safe and fun way to really discover virtual worlds by coming to this event. So I want to thank you, Letty, for being our guest today and sharing all the wonderful work you guys are doing. I'll be there.
Thank you very much.
Single day. just really learning. Sometimes, you know, you've been in there for a long time, and I think these type of event kind of re-energized, I don't know what to call us now, veterans, and the newbies. And so sometimes I think we may take virtual, we may forget sort of like the magic and all the beautiful resources we have here. And I think coming to something like this just remind me, you know, we have great people, great community, which is the big thing I think you mentioned earlier that keeps a lot of people coming back day after day to be part of Second Life. So again, thank you for being on the show, and I'll be seeing you very soon.
Thank you very much.
I want to thank our listeners for being on the for tuning in. I hope you guys enjoy the program. And this week, I had a chance to go to a wonderful event for Feed a Smile in Second Life, and I was able to discover a new artist, which is amazing. Wherever you turn, and that's one thing that's going to be happening during the Virtual World Best Practices and Education. There'll be some live music events that are going to be taking place. Again, for more information about VWBPE, go to VWBPE.org. You get all the information that you need to participate and get involved. And again, you don't need to register, just stop over and then join us. Everyone is welcome. Again, thank you to all my listeners, all my followers on Twitter and Pinterest. I'll be back over the weekend so I can tell you guys more about what's going on in Second Life in Concert Window. Tonight, we have Michael Wells, who's going to be performing with Nitu Hainu at Gallery Rouge at 5 p.m. SLT. And then on Sunday, Cersei Dover will be making her debut at Gallery Rouge at noon SLT right after our open mic. So we have tons going on. And I'll be back to tell you more on all these wonderful events. Thank you and have a wonderful day. And here's Chanel Hurricane, or Chanel Hurricane, who was one of the musicians at Feed a Smile this week that I was able to hear her music. It's just amazing. So this is from SoundCloud. It's Guitar and Drums Legendary.